Mary had a baby, oh Lord. Mary had a baby, oh my Lord. Mary had a baby, Mary had a baby. People keep it coming and the train done gone. What did she name him, oh Lord? What did she name him, oh my Lord? What did she name him? What did she name him? People keep it coming and the train done gone. She named him King Jesus, oh Lord. She named him King Jesus, oh my Lord. She named him King Jesus, named him King Jesus. People keep it coming and the train done gone. Where was he born, oh Lord? Where was he born, oh my Lord? Where was he born? Where was he born? People keep a coming and the train done gone. Born in a stable, oh Lord. Born in a stable, oh my Lord. Born in a stable, born in a stable. People keep a coming and the train done gone. Where did she lay him, oh Lord? Where did she lay him, oh my Lord? Where did she lay him? Where did she lay him? People keep a coming and the train done gone. She laid him in a manger, oh Lord. She laid him in a manger, oh Lord. She laid him in a manger, laid him in a manger. People keep a coming and the train done gone. Oh, Mary had a baby, oh Lord. Mary had a baby, oh my Lord. Mary had a baby, Mary had a baby. People keep a coming and the train done gone. Advent is coming. How do you pass the time when you are waiting for the arrival of something or someone? How do you prepare? You ponder if you feel like change is coming, but all you have to go on is your gut. You plan if you know what is coming. You pack if you're the one traveling, if someone is waiting for you to come to them. You nest if you're waiting for something or someone to come to you. You sing if your community honors and shares what you are waiting for. These are ways that I've always thought of Advent because that's been my experience. Advent is a time of waiting for Christmas Day, knowing full well exactly which day it will be and how long the wait will be, of waiting to see not if there will be a gift for me, but waiting to see what the gifts will be. A time of waiting to reveal gifts I've already chosen or made for others. A time of waiting to see faraway family. A time to sing favorite songs that aren't socially acceptable to sing the rest of the year. Because there is an element of commemoration to Christmas. It's remembering and retelling the story of Jesus being born in a particular time and place in history, in the distant past, of the Messiah that had been foretold for centuries, finally coming. And by finally, I mean not only finally as in it's been a long time, but finally as in it's final, over, done, the Messiah came. Check, that happened. And Advent leads up to and looks forward to Christmas, so we're kind of looking forward to something that's already happened. And the songs of Advent are songs written from the point of view of those still anticipating that first coming of the Messiah. So Advent is often a season of commemorating a longed-for coming that then came, which is rather different from longing for the coming of something yourself. Now, many of you may be thinking, but there is a thread in the New Testament that talks of Jesus the Messiah coming again. It wasn't just once and done. And if I'm honest, that's a thread that I haven't been eager to pick up and follow a lot in my adult theologizing. The second coming doctrines and hypotheses that I was exposed to when I was younger were about being caught in the act. The act of what? I wasn't quite sure. But it seemed much more about being careful to not have too much fun or don't get lulled into thinking you've got it all together, because just when you think life is perfect, bang, the whole thief in the night. The rapture might happen and you'll be left behind because you were too busy leading a hedonistic life. Nothing I remember being exposed to led me to believe that one might welcome or wish for or long for a Messiah to show up and save them from their current reality. The second coming of the Messiah was something to watch out for or be on guard for, because you probably weren't living right enough or believing correctly enough to be saved from some future punishment. Well, probably all that says about me is that I had an amazingly privileged and wonderful childhood, to be honest, that the present tense was good for me. I couldn't imagine longing to be saved from it. Couldn't imagine a scenario in which the tables turning could mean anything but a change for the worse. But hope is meant for trouble. Hope is for the troubled. Songs of hope are written for times of trouble, for those in trouble, to bring trouble to suffering and those who cause it, to trouble the waters. Songs of yearning and songs of hope are not meant for easy times. They aren't written for times of peace or for the shining happy. They are written for trouble, hope in trouble, hope for trouble. And I'm grateful, China, because it was your use of that phrase that you were the one who used that phrase for me, and I'm grateful to you for that. Every year leading up to Advent and Lent, I look up and look through many resources to take to worship committee as we discern what our focus will be for that season, for this year, for that time, for this congregation. I was given such a resource quite a few years ago by none other than our own Preem Dick, whom many of you will know and remember. And it was just one of many books that he gifted to me and to Chad Martin when he was on our staff. And I can only assume he did the same thing for Pam Denneman and whatever other pastors he overlapped with here. But I'm sure they, too, were the beneficiary of his generous book-giving tendencies. Now, these books were almost always resources that combined theology and social justice issues and current events. This particular resource that I am referring to today was called Mary Had a Baby, an Advent Bible Study Based on African American Spirituals by Cheryl Kirk Duggan and Marilyn Thornton. And this resource has had a call on me for several years, but I could never bring myself to propose that we use it as a theme until last year. And I did, and then I chickened out. I chickened out because I'm afraid, and I think for pretty good reasons, that a white pastor of a largely white church either has no business or needs to be very careful taking and using African American spirituals as a resource, when I am a descendant of and beneficiary of the very people and forces that enslaved millions of Africans in America. and that caused the creation of these amazing songs for all the wrong reasons. But I'm also equally convicted that not to embrace such a resource can be a cowardly act of avoidance for a white pastor of a largely white congregation. How to highlight these songs in a way that doesn't feel like asking the psalmist to sing their sacred songs in Babylon to an audience of their captors. Or in a way that doesn't feel like appropriation, just enjoying the fruits of others' sufferings and enjoying the words of comfort that were written for specific other people. With the discernment of worship committee, we felt that the choice, though, was to take the risk of messing up rather than avoiding this resource. For me, the significance of this year, 2019, is also an added incentive. This August was the 400th anniversary of two very different events. The first gathering of a representative governing body of white colonists anywhere in the Americas, the General Assembly, met from July 30 to August 4 in 1619 in the choir of a newly built church in Jamestown. Several weeks later, also in August 1619, and also in the colony of Virginia, a ship arrived carrying 20-some people who had been captured in West Central Africa, the first Africans to be sold into slavery here. Historians have argued that the rise of liberty and equality in America, America's democratic experiment, was shadowed from its very beginning by its dark obverse of slavery and racism. Slavery in the midst of freedom was the central paradox of the birth of America. The rapid expansion of opportunities for Europeans was made possible only by the enslavement and exploitation of African and indigenous peoples. Non-Europeans were consigned to a permanent underclass, excluded from the benefits of white society, while Europeans profited enormously from the fruits of the labors of those they oppressed. The New York Times published an extensive set of materials this summer entitled The 1619 Project on this subject, and I'm guessing many of you were aware of that and have read it, but it is well worth your exploration. As I ponder the significant realities of injustice that still proliferate from this history of slavery and racism, the realities of the genuine, well-grounded fear in which people of color rightly live in this country even now, and the realities of separated families, some temporarily, some permanently, at our nation's borders right now, I find myself longing for songs this Christmas, this Advent, not just to soothe me and make me think of cozy winter celebrations, but for songs and worship that can stand up to these troubled times. The African American spirituals were forged in the hardest of times. I think it's horribly ironic that a song like Kumbaya, for example, has become shorthand for shallow comfort, when the fault lies in its glib appropriation over the years by those who did not create the song, nor did they deserve its message, the fault not being in the song itself, or its origins, or the Gullah peoples who birthed it. Spirituals were created to remember Bible stories and spiritual truths for a people denied the education to learn writing or otherwise preserving stories or histories. Spirituals were created to make sense in a context of no sense, beauty out of a context of brutality, to breathe because singing is just vocalized exhaling, to breathe life into the word hope in a context where to have hope must have felt absurd, hope that there could be an existence beyond slavery, hope that humans can remember their divine image in the midst of such deadly campaigns to steal it. And the spirituals were often quite literally used as calls to action, when any such words directly spoken would have been impossible to speak without consequence. Spirituals were deeply connected to the Underground Railroad movement to pass greetings, to say farewell, to give signals that it's time to catch that train now, or dangers lurk nearby. The song that I sang at the beginning of this sermon, Mary Had a Baby, might not seem like a particularly liberational song, but it too has the seeming non sequitur of moving from lines about babies in a manger to the line, people keep a comin' and the train done gone. Christmas was one time of year, apparently, in which everyone on a plantation was able to relax. And historically, it was a better time to attempt an escape from slavery. This is a connection between Christmas and spirituals and liberation that I never knew about. Such spirituals not only reminded people to have hope for the future, but encouraged people to keep a lookout for signs of hope and rescue in reality, and instructed those people to get ready to meet hope, to prepare to seize the opportunity for freedom when it came. And the song said it would come. And by singing the songs, invited the repetition of those words of hope and preparedness and readiness. As I pondered the song, Mary Had a Baby, in recent weeks, it seemed to be a profound claiming also of family connection, that this young woman, also in a tenuous situation, would claim her child and name her child and the prophecy of greatness of him. She called him King Jesus. And that recognition from those writing the spirituals of a connection to this young Mary. Rhiannon Giddens is a contemporary African-American singer-songwriter who not only researches and sings old spirituals, but also writes new ones. She wrote a song in recent years from the point of view of a young mother who was of African descent here in America and an enslaved person here. She was inspired by, that probably has too positive a connotation, it was the reading of this that inspired the writing of a song. What she read in her research was an advertisement, which apparently was not an uncommon thing to find. But an ad advertising a strong, smart, healthy woman, about 22 years of age, used to both housework and farming, sold for no fault save for want of employ. She has a child, about 9 months old, which will be at the purchaser's option. This is a few lines of that song. I've got a babe, but shall I keep him? 'Twill come the day when I'll be weeping. But how can I love him any less? This little babe upon my breast. You can take my body, you can take my bones, you can take my blood, but not my soul. You can take my body, you can take my bones, you can take my blood, but not my soul. She writes a song that feels like a companion piece to Mary's Magnificat to me. Young women singing of these sons that are theirs, and yet they lived in worlds where they couldn't protect or even be guaranteed to keep those sons. The anguished love of a mother who sees suffering and separation, and yet also divinity and destiny and the greatest love ahead, and somehow chooses a yes to this coming of this child. Mary and the woman in Giddens' song willingly give their bodies to shelter these babies, but they do not abdicate their souls. And with their words and songs and prayers and sheer will, they weave an armor of love around these children, both of whom probably left them far too soon. And so this Advent, I invite you, I invite us, to lean into our awareness of the troubles of our time. The troubledness of our time, to lean into our awareness of our needs, our awareness of the needs of others, the needs of the world, to not turn from the knowledge that we cannot guarantee a world of safety for our children, and that the children of others are even more vulnerable to danger and separation. For I think this is where the deep messages of our songs, of these songs, will find us, both to comfort our souls, but also to give us the instructions we need to respond with readiness and action when the train does come, to help those in danger and to not lose our souls. For we all need to be on that train away from all this for the sake of our bodies and our souls. As our Advent wreath blessing and image this year say, and it's printed on your insert so you can take it with you for this month, this image of light in darkness, may we be willing to be seen in the light. May we be willing to be bearers of light, even in these troubled times. Amen. Mary had a baby, oh Lord. Mary had a baby, oh my Lord. Mary had a baby, Mary had a baby. People keep a coming and the train done gone.
Oh my Lord, and people.